Aloha, and welcome to the Mission North Shore podcast. If you'd like to know more about any of our ministries, you can check out our website at www.themissionnorthshore.org. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Morning, y'all. How are we doing today? Y'all, yeah. Well, it's good to see you again. I feel like I haven't seen you guys for eternity. Thank you, Paulo, for that. Definitely miss seeing you guys. I just want to give you guys a quick update on what I've been up to. I feel like I've been out of here for like at least a few months now. But as many of you know, I've been doing military chaplaincy. And I've been working with the Air Force for some time now. And they anointed me to preach over at Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam. And so I've been preaching the Word of God down there on Sundays. And so please do pray that God would use me in that way for this season. And then beyond that, I was deployed to South Korea for a while. And so God's been doing a lot of really interesting things in my life as of late. And so nothing dramatic. I just wanted to check in with you guys so you don't think I went rogue or anything like that. But that's enough about me. I want to turn our attention this morning to a really mysterious figure in the Old Testament for our message today and make some connections about what made his ministry so powerful and make some parallels to our own lives. And I want to talk about two specific things in regards to prayer: living a righteous life and praying according to the will of God. And so I'm sure you've read about this particular person in the Old Testament. He was a person who did some amazing ministry in God's timing. He was able to miraculously produce flour and oil for a starving widow. This guy was able to shut up the heavens so that no rain would fall. He was able to open the heavens so that rain would fall. He was able to call fire from heaven and consume a drenched offering. He's able to stop the waters at the Jordan River. And he was even able to raise a child from the dead. And what's so interesting about this man is the Bible said that he was just a man just like us. That even though he did all these radical ministries, he's no different than the people sitting in this room. And in the New Testament, James makes this point that I want to camp out on this morning. Here's what he would say on the screen in light of Elijah. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I love that. Powerful and effective. And here's how James highlights it. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures in the New Testament. I feel like I say that every week, that Elijah, the mighty prophet Elijah, was just a regular Joe like you and me. And again, the point being, there was nothing special about Elijah. But what was special was his connection to God. That in some capacity, according to the book of James, we have the full potential to be like Elijah in our prayer life. And so I want to spend a little time this morning talking about what James is getting at in this passage. And before we get into that, I want to keep this in context so we don't leave with the wrong idea in light of this passage in James, because there are some things that we will never be in this life. This passage is not about radical miracles. It's not this blanket promise that we can get out there and do anything, right? This is specifically about powerful and effective prayer. For example, terrible example, but no matter how earnestly I train to be a good basketball player, I will never be as good as Michael Jordan, which we all know in our heart is the true GOAT, right? I hope I don't offend anyone by saying that this morning. He is objectively the GOAT of every basketball player who ever lived, of any generation, including LeBron James, right? And if you guys want to argue about that, then we can look at stats. And so no matter the amount of discipline and work that I put into basketball, I would never be like Michael Jordan. I might be like LeBron James, but I can't be like Michael Jordan. I'll never dunk a basketball. I'll never grow beyond 5'9". I'm probably really 5'8". I'll never be in the NBA. And I've come to peace with this. I've come to terms with this. But you know who I can be like, according to Scripture? I can be like Elijah. That's way better than dunking a basketball. That what made his ministry so powerful and effective was his connection to God, his commitment to prayer. And the point that I want to mention first in passing, as we talk about what makes a prayer life powerful and effective, the first thing I want to talk about in passing is that what makes righteous person, or what makes prayer powerful, is a righteous lifestyle. The way that we live our lives really matters. And so powerful and effective prayer is in the same vein of righteous living. And we see this all across the Bible. Listen to how Peter would put this, and it should be on the screen. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attend to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Proverbs 15 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but notice this, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. And in these passages, among many, many others throughout the New Testament, even Peter talks about husbands, the way that you treat your wives can hinder your prayer life. And so these are just a small sampling or a vignette of the same vein of righteous living and effective prayer. And there's this simple principle that's being laid out for us here in Scripture, that if we want to have a powerful and effective prayer life like the prophet Elijah, then we must live a life that is congruent with our profession. It's a simple spiritual principle that's just as true as everyday principles in our lives. You want bigger biceps? You go to the gym, right? You want to save money? You stop eating out. You want to learn a new hobby? Practice said hobby. You want to appear like a gourmet cook? Sprinkle parsley on everything. Chicken sandwich, throw parsley on that thing. Gourmet cook. You want to appear busy at work when there's nothing to do? Grab a clipboard and walk really fast. Those are principles that turn out in everyday life. And the same is true, spiritually speaking, that if you want a powerful and effective prayer life, then live a righteous life. And I love how Eugene Peterson put this from the Message translation. It should be on the screen, but he said this. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. I love that. And when we get that right, this first point, when we get that right in our lives, pursuing purity and holiness, there's something that begins to happen in our Christian experience. As we live a righteous life, something begins to emerge in greater and greater clarity, and that is the will of God for our lives. That real power in prayer is birthed out of righteous living, but it's also tethered to the will of God. Because what we don't want to think in regard to prayer is that God is some magic genie that's in heaven that's waiting on high to give us what we want, right? He doesn't exist to fulfill our desires. That would be the theology of a four-year-old. And my son, Luke, God bless him, he lives and breathes in the space that dad is a magic genie, right? That I exist. He's convinced that I can exist to give him whatever he needs. He's firmly convinced that his dad is in the house to give him whatever he needs at any time. He did this really funny thing the other day. My son is a big ice cream guy, right? Who's not, right? And so he loves ice cream all the time. And so one of the reasons that I exist is to get him ice cream, right? I'm the on-call delivery ice cream man in our house, right? So his theology is simple. Ask and you shall receive, right? Ice cream, anytime, any place. And so I've told him, I'm like, brother, ice cream is not good for your health. It can cause tooth decay. This is dad is thinking of stuff. It can cause diabetes. I know you don't know what that is yet, but it can cause diabetes. It can cause your muscles to shrink, I've told him. He's really big into muscles. That's how we convince him to eat his food. And after he eats his food, he puts his arms up like this is like his muscles, you know? And I'm like, man, if you keep eating ice cream all the time, those little muscles are going to get even smaller. And so whatever I can think of to convince him that eating ice cream all the time is not good. And so in the unshakable faith of a preschooler, I kid you not, he started praying that God would make ice cream healthy for him. He's praying, and I'm right there with him, and I heard him say it, and I was like, what'd you say? Did you just ask God to make ice cream healthy? And then he said, yeah, Dad, that's what I did. Just flexed on you like that, right? And so, and his solution was just to ask God to fix it. That the problem wasn't his desire for ice cream, but the problem was God's design for nutrition, right? And so Luke has this very unique take on prayer and nutrition, among many other things. And as I reflected on that little moment 2 weeks ago, I feel like sometimes, if we're honest, we do the same thing in our own lives. But obviously in a way more intellectual and subtle way, we often seek to bring God into our deal, into our story, that we make our plans and then we ask God to bless it. But that's a miss of what prayer is all about. The essence of prayer is really about aligning ourselves to God's story. It's not about us getting God on our page, but it's about us getting on God's page. Prayer is about aligning to what God is doing in our community. Consider this quote, kind of a paradigm shift in how we understand prayer, but this is really good. Should be on the screen. Prayer is not a blank check asking for things from God. It's a deposit slip, a way of depositing God's character into our bankrupt souls. I love that quote. And so the concept is really simple. The more time that we spend in prayer, the more we understand the will and mind of Christ. And so here's how it works as we kind of put it all together. As we live a more righteous life, our character changes. And as our character changes, our prayers change. And as our prayers begin to change, the world around us begins to change because we are connecting to God's story. It's a massive difference between our will and God's will. God's will can change the way the world is working around us. Because when is the last time that any person in this room ever informed God of anything new, right? When did you come to God and bring him some novel information? I mean, even Matthew 6:8, that God knows what we need before we even ask him. Jesus said that to the disciples. And so there's never been a moment that we have brought something new to God's attention. He's sort of been running the universe way before we existed, and he's going to continue to do so way after we are gone. And so the point being that God is writing the story, and he is inviting us to be a part of it. And you'll never understand or know the page that you're supposed to be on or the places that you're supposed to go unless you are praying righteously and according to God's will. But what I've noticed, this is where we have a roadblock in our prayer life. What I've noticed is that what often consumes the bulk of our prayers, and maybe this is not true of your personal life, but I know it's true of my own, but what often consumes the bulk of our prayers is our personal comfort. Like, we want God on that page. We want it to be 72 degrees. We want no traffic, no lines at Costco. We want Amazon Prime to come in 2 days, not 2 weeks. You know, we want God to be on the page of comfort. And I am the most guilty when it comes to this. I am a creature of convenience and comfort. I pray for traveling mercies. I don't even know what that fully means, but I heard some aunties doing it, so I inherited it. So I pray for it anytime I travel. I pray for the parking lot miracle, that God would manifest a parking lot at Costco on Sunday afternoon, right? Amen. Do you guys do that under your breath? You're driving around. God, please manifest. You got me a kid, and you just pray that he does it, right? I pray for food to bless my body when it's fried chicken and waffles, right? I pray for my football team. I pray for so many darn right silly things. And don't get me wrong, it's not bad to pray for all these things, except for maybe the football thing. That's sin on my part. I'm still working through that, right? But the scripture does say that God actually delights in the details of our lives, that he is concerned with the small things. But at the same time, if comfort and convenience is the bulk of our prayers, then we really miss the mark. God is way more concerned with our character over our comfort. And so one of the main purposes of prayer as we seek to live a righteous life is about aligning ourselves with God. God is not this celestial vending machine that's just dishing out comforts to make our life easy. I mean, isn't this what we see in the most important prayer of all the Bible, the Lord's Prayer, us aligning to God's will? Jesus would say, boys, pray in this way. Hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so at the end of the day, prayer does not change God, but it changes us. Let me give you an example this morning from the life of the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul had this desire, and it was a good desire, but it wasn't God's plan. And in 2 Corinthians, he talks about this thorn that he had in the flesh. And we have no idea what he's talking about. There's all these commentators who speculate on it. It may have been this physical ailment. It may have been the spiritual battle, this emotional torment. We don't know what it was, but we do know it was something that really, really bothered Paul. And Paul prayed earnestly that God would remove it on three different occasions. And God's response to Paul was not to remove the problem. He just left it there. That despite the earnest prayer of Paul, who was a righteous man, the plan for him was not to remove it. And over in 2 Corinthians 12, God breaks the silence and he would say this to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That in some way, the uncomfortable circumstance that Paul was in was the plan for Paul. And here's what Paul learned through the process, through this process of aligning to God's will. He learned something instead of fighting against the will of God, that the thorn was actually an instrument through which God's power and grace was magnified. And in embracing this weakness that Paul was fighting with, Paul embraced God's plan for his life instead of fighting against it. As Paul would go on to say, very famous scripture that resonates in our lives too, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And this became the mantra of the life of Paul, that humility would be the key for God to work through his life. And so back to the point, there was this tuning process that Paul had to wrestle with. He was a righteous man, but he was tuning to the will of God. And the outcome was gleaning this greater revelation of how God was working in his life. And in the grand scheme of prayer in our own personal lives, God will do the same thing. There will come a time where we will have to battle between our desire and God's purpose in the journey of prayer. And what I have learned is that prayer is sort of like tuning a radio to find a clear signal. I don't know if anyone tunes radios anymore, but we live in a world that's got a lot of static, a lot of noise, a lot of interference. And so there's a lot of distraction in our lives and in the world that lead us away from the will of God. And so finding God's frequency, if you will, requires this precise adjustment. It requires discernment. And so when you habitually choose to search for that signal, there's a moment where everything aligns. You find the right frequency and the broadcast starts to play. And what we don't want to miss is that finding the frequency never changed the broadcast. When we seek God's will in our time of prayer, we did not change the plan of God. And what we will discover in this process is that the broadcast of God's will was always playing. It was a matter of us aligning to the frequency. And so in these lives, we have to discern and know the will of God so that we can have powerful and effective prayer that is aligned with God's purposes. Romans 12, chapter 2 explains this pretty well and should be on the screen, but it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, God is always speaking. God is always broadcasting. But the question is, who is tuned in? What are we conforming to? The patterns of this world or the will of God? Because the obvious truth is sometimes Brandon's will is not God's will. And so there is this tension in prayer that God is speaking, but are we listening? And so we have to ask ourselves this morning very seriously, very candidly, is do we want to experience the power of God in our lives? Like real Holy Spirit anointed power in our lives, or do we want to settle merely with convenience and comfort? Right? Do you want to sit on the bench or do you want to get in the game? And don't get me wrong, sitting on the bench is nice, right? It's comfortable on the bench. You don't get really sweaty there. You don't get really exhausted. You don't get challenged. You don't risk injury. But at the same time, you completely miss the point of being on the team. And so all that to say, there's this real risk of getting into the game. There's a real risk of following the will of God. Because in the process of getting off the bench and getting sweaty and getting exhausted and risking injury, we may find ourselves losing comfort and convenience more and more. If anything, according to the witness of Scripture, the will of God will rob us of those things. The journey of prayer, according to God's will lead us away from our comfort zones. But the upside of losing those things is the promise of meaning and purpose. The promise of losing those things is gaining this Elijah-like stature who is identified as this person who has powerful and effective prayer. And so my encouragement this week is really simple and twofold. If you're not living a righteous life, then start working on that. That if you need to remove sin so that your prayer will not be hindered, then work on that. No one is perfect for sure. But at the same time, we have to remember we should be seeking greater degrees of purity. Powerful and effective prayer is in the same vein of righteous living. And then number two, tune up your radio. Begin to listen and discern the will of God and then pray into that. That you would spend real time with Jesus this week and discern what he is up to and join him in that work. Because the promise of the book of James is that our prayer life should be powerful and effective, and it should be tethered to righteous living and discerning the will of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, as we endeavor to live lives that are pleasing to you, we do take a posture of humility and approach you even as the disciples approached you and said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And God, from that place, you reminded them that God is holy, therefore we should be holy. And you also told them that we should seek after his will and not our own. And so God, as we go out to these crazy, hectic, busy lives, we pray that you would remind us in the stillness of prayer that our life is just a vapor, that we're here and then we're gone. And the only lasting thing that will matter in this life was aligning to your purposes and will. And so God, we ask that you would teach us this week more and more about what it means to pray. God, we know that we can search for eternity and learn more about this idea of prayer. And so, God, we ask that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit and show us what it means to pray according to your will. Show us what it means to live a righteous life, God, and remind us that you're worth it, that you are infinitely worth all of our lives to follow what you are pursuing. And so, God, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray that you would bless us as we go. Bless our families, as that song said, God. Bless our businesses, God. Bless our endeavors, God. But God, if none of those things are according to your will, we pray that you would redirect us. Help us to live lives that are righteous. Bless our families, God. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.